Hello, beautiful beings, and thank you for joining us for our sixth episode of Just Being. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Kirsty, and today we're going to be talking about the magic that surrounds us and the ways you can tap into it. I believe that we are all souls having a human experience on this crazy planet we call home. For me, just the fact that we can have awareness and interact with the world and each other in the ways that we do is magical.
I don't believe in mystical quite the same way that Kirsty does, but I do believe that we can choose to find the magic all around us every day, particularly at this time of year. But what do we mean when we say magic? For me, I think magic looks like a lot of things. Subtle vibrations or feelings from people or objects. Being in nature and watching the incredible intricate ecosystems thriving all around us. The twinkle of fairy lights on the Christmas tree. Moments that hit you so deeply, it pulls you out of yourself, even if just for a second. It can be being in the right place at the right time, or the way things have a way of working out in the end. Life's inexplainable coincidences. I'm not a religious person either. But I have personally found that I always seem to find myself back on the right path for me, even when it felt like everything has gone just about as wrong as it can go. Synchronicities.
What some people call coincidences, others call synchronicities. I find that when we take enough unplugged quiet time to tune into our intuition and to just be, we tap into the energetic, expansive flow of the universe. Our intuition acts like a compass, guiding us towards or away from certain situations or people, while synchronicities can give us confirmation of the path that we're on and lead us to take further inspired action. I've always had a lot of synchronicities in periods of my life since I started my spiritual practice. And since I started meditating regularly, I've been having a bit of a quiet spell until we decided to do this podcast. We were voice noting at the same time about random well-being tips and topics, and then at the exact same moment, we both had the same idea: we should start a podcast.
Didn't you also say you ordered your birth chart for the year, which arrived a few days after we made that decision? And on the day we'd had that idea, it said, today's a good day to start a new creative project.
Yes, it did. Literally on the 29th of October. But as you said, I didn't read about it until after we'd had the idea to start the podcast. So it's not like it was some kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, not one that I was conscious of, at least. Also, in the same week after starting the podcast, I happened to come across an old notebook. I had scribbled a few notes in it when I was chilling with some monks in an ashram in Texas about 5 years ago. On one page, I had just written the words, just be, and drawn a picture of a butterfly next to it. I had completely forgotten that I'd written this or even about the existence of the notebook until I rediscovered it. But Nikki had suggested just a few days before then incorporating the JB butterfly style image into our logo.
That week was one of the biggest cases of synchronicities I've come across, and it really made me believe that we'd found this path for both of us that the universe seemed to be wholeheartedly supporting.
Oh, and another thing, next year is 2022, and the number 2 in numerology is not only about balance, but also about partnership. So it's a brilliant year to get stuck into a wellbeing podcast with your bestie. So going back to that time I spent in the ashram in Texas, I was there for 1 week with no phone, internet or TV, just there with my thoughts, some monks, living a simple existence in nature. I was unplugged from all technology in everyday life. In the year leading up to me going there, I had had some synchronicities in my everyday life. But after that week, I felt like they were supercharged. After leaving the ashram, I explored Austin for a couple of days and so many magical things happened. It honestly felt like I was in a film or something. It was just so seamless and I felt in complete flow with life. As I was wandering the streets, listening to a travelling playlist that I'd created before I left home, I turned the corner and a busker was there playing the exact same song that I was listening to on my phone at the time. And then cut to a couple of hours later, I thought of this random quote that I'd heard of years ago. And the next shop I walked into had that exact quote framed on the wall at the back of the shop. Then later on, I was walking towards the bus stop, realising that I was quite lost because I'd been wandering around for hours. I had no idea how to get back to the hostel. And before I'd even stopped to look at the bus times or to ask someone for help, in that moment that I had that thought of, I'm lost, I don't know how to get back, a lovely local stopped and asked if I needed help. Then, of course, as I was saying, explaining where I needed to get to, the exact bus that I needed turned up and they were like, jump on that one. So this is just a snapshot of some of the little synchronicities that happened to me in those couple of hours. It felt like a natural, subtle trip, but I definitely wasn't under the influence of anything other than being in the present moment, feeling gratitude and having a clear mind from a week of being unplugged from electronics and tuning to my own thoughts and intuition.
That's amazing. I really love those examples. And I think even if we've not been to quite such amazing places, a lot of us can relate to this in our day-to-day lives. For example, when I was looking to move in with Chris to where I am now, time and time again, I kept finding a place that I was adamant was the perfect place. It was the one. And each time they either wouldn't allow dogs, wouldn't allow ferrets, yes, I have ferrets, or the place had just gone when I called. Each time it felt crushing. I get very emotionally invested in things very quickly. Then after a couple of months of this, a place just down the road from where I grew up in Betchworth came up on Rightmove and I couldn't believe it. As soon as I saw it, I requested a viewing. And Rightmove took me through a different system as this place was set up so I could book my viewing without having to speak to an estate agent. I booked it for the next day and that morning phoned the number my confirmation text included in a bid to speak to someone about the pet situation. It turned out the number I'd been sent was actually for the landlord, not the estate agent, so we were both a bit confused when I got through. However, she pulled over her car to chat to me, and I mentioned having a dog. She was immediately concerned. I could hear the no in her voice before she said it. Her last tenant had had dogs, and they had completely wrecked the place. Pulled off the skirting boards, chewed up the carpets. Gutted, I said I completely understood, but mentioned it was such a shame as I'd grown up just down the road and loved the idea of moving back. But being a small village, places so hardly come up for rental. Suddenly she said, hang on, are you the Nikki who is Ali's daughter? You used to babysit for me. Turns out she also used to live on the same road and I'd grown up a few doors down from her. Even though she still wasn't sure on the dog and really wasn't sure about the ferrets, she said we could come and see it and just have a chat for her to get to know us. And oh my, I just fell in love. All the little things I'd said about every other place we'd seen over the last few months, like beams, double doors out onto the garden, a fireplace, a bay window, having a bath and a shower, all of it was there. It's like the universe had been listening and designing my dream home for me. It was a very stressful 8 hours while she said she needed to think things over, as another couple without pets had also seen it and fallen in love. But when she called that evening to let me know she decided to let us be her new tenants, I was actually over the moon. If any of the other places had worked out, I never would have seen this one, and it was infinitely better. If I hadn't decided to call and got through to her by mistake, we likely wouldn't have even had a viewing, as we would have been ruled out by pets. And without having babysat for her all those years ago, she wouldn't have agreed to meet us. Everything lined up, and now I get to spend Christmas time in front of my fire, with my parents' house a simple amble down the road from me. And all of this was after some incredibly hard months earlier this year. But without all that pain and the tough choices, I'd never be where I am now.
Exactly. I love your new home so much, and it's so much better than all the other places that you looked at. I know at the time I kept saying, there's probably a reason that house fell through, and that one, and the one after that. But when you're in those moments, having those disappointments, it's hard to keep the faith that maybe there was a reason why it was happening, and that there was somewhere even better for you on the horizon.
Yeah, no, very much so, but it's hard to keep that train of thought. Also, and I'll keep this shorter, when getting my puppy Baloo, I've been on the waiting list for so long, just waiting for the right time, and had a great relationship with his lovely breeder. So when I said, yes, this pairing are my future fur baby's parents, I'm ready for my pup, I was told I could have choice of the litter. For the 5 years I've been on her waiting list, I'd specified I wanted either a red or a grey husky marked pup. what you think of as those traditional husky colours. As a reminder, Blue's a Pomeranian. Joe the breeder was kindly messaging me as the pups came out. It was so exciting. And the very first one that arrived that she sent me a photo of was this creamy boy. And I just knew, that's my baby. What's so funny about this is the year before, my mama bought me this beautiful carved necklace. Carved from nut, an environmentally friendly version of ivory. Sadly, it is broken now, but I used to wear this necklace nearly every day. And the necklace was carving of a wolf with this big fluffy tail, but in the ivory style cream. And it is honestly the spitting image of Baloo. So it's like I'd had him next to my heart for a year before he was even born.
Oh, I love that. That's so sweet. Another way I find that the universe speaks to me is in songs. I can be trying to think of a solution to something or have a question in mind, and I'll sometimes get an answer in the next song that comes up. There is a song that always makes me think of my dad that I don't hear that often, and it will always be when I'm thinking of him or on the anniversary of his birthday or of his passing that it will come up on the radio. Another one of my favourite confirmations I've had from the universe was when I handed in my notice at a pub that I was working at. It was the second job that I was doing at the same time as my 9-to-5, as I was trying to save extra money to go travelling. I wasn't that happy working in the pub and I was feeling burnt out, but I was so hell-bent on saving money to reach my goal to quit my 9-to-5 and go off around the world. So I had been having synchronicities up until that point, but I was that burnt out and not looking after my self-care or in a good routine that I wasn't really having things like that happen anymore. And then I decided, right, I need to give my notice in. It's not worth the extra money. I want my energy back. So after I gave my notice in at the pub, and then as I got into my car with a sense of relief, I turned on the radio and the very first line I heard was from Luther Vandross's song, Never Too Much. And it goes, who needs to go to work to hustle for another dollar? And I was like, thank you, universe, for the confirmation that I've done the right thing. Money isn't everything.
That's amazing. And I do strongly believe that things do work out for the best in the end. And that's not from a faith in a higher power guiding me. And I really don't believe that if you put your faith in something external to yourself and just wait for good things to come, they will. You have to work for it and be willing to go through the challenges and grow. But throughout life, it has been the darkest times that's often then led me to the best changes. There's a quote someone at my work said that really stuck with me. Not all storms come to disrupt your life. Some come to clear your path. Just this last year for me has been such an example of that. I've gone from feeling so lost, my health at probably an all-time low, inflammation rates high and the doctors didn't know why, I was signed off work due to my mental health, to probably one of the healthiest places I've been now. And I think what has helped with that throughout is that I did have this trust that although times were hard and things felt really dark, it was something I had to fight through to get to that better place. I don't always have that, but it was a mantra that just kept coming into my head again and again. Brighter days are coming. Just keep going. But you do have to really work for that mindset and to not just give up or think life is rubbish and out to get you, which is often the easier path to go.
Definitely. I believe that everything happens to you for a reason. And you might not realise in that moment, it might be so hard or such a difficult change or destructive thing you're going through in life that you can't imagine that it could ever turn into a positive. But in the end, it might not be till weeks or months or even years down the line, you'll look back and see why that had to be part of your journey to get you to the better place that you're in now. And it's also true, as you say, that you have to train your mind to look for the good, beauty and magic in things.
I think a lot of wellbeing tips boil down to that training your mind to think differently. And that can be through religion or spirituality or not. No matter what you believe, you can still train your mind to see the magic and good in things every day.
Absolutely. It makes me think of one time. This is a more down-to-earth experience that I've had in relation to this. It was when I was in Dorset earlier this year on holiday with my family, and we had a guide who was showing us how to find fossils on the beach. The way he got us to train our minds and eyes into finding them was to basically repeat the size, shape and texture of the thing or fossil that we were looking for as we were scanning the ground. So after 10 minutes, you go from not seeing anything, it's just a massive different coloured pebbles, and then suddenly you'll see one of the things that you're looking for. Suddenly you realise you're surrounded by them, and you've probably walked over dozens before then. But you just have to choose what it is you want to find and adjust your focus onto it. So as we mentioned in a previous episode, this is part of the reason why practicing gratitude is so beneficial. If you just focus your mind on what it is you want to find, so for example, the good things in your life or in the world, then you will start to see more of them. Astrology. As I mentioned earlier, another place patterns appear for me, and this is one of my favourite rabbit holes to disappear down into, is astrology. I could talk about it for hours, but for this episode, I will just relate it to the synchronicities. So going back to when we started this podcast, a couple of days after, as well as all the other synchronicities going on, I was watching one of my favourite YouTubers. He's an intuitive tarot reader and astrologer called Nicholas Ashbow. And he literally said, this is a great time to get your voice out there and communicate your truths. For example, start a podcast. And then later in that same video, he also said that I was going to be working really well with the Libra soon. Guess what sign Nikki is, guys?
Again, this is very much more Kirsty's jam, but the number of times I have seen very specific things come up in astrology, and I'm not talking about the horoscopes you read in magazines as a kid, which used to be general enough that everyone could find something to relate to, but really weirdly specific examples. So one example, Kirsty, you really enjoy looking at people's birth charts.
I do, I love it so much, and I really geek out on it. And as you say, there's so much more to it than those generic two-sentence, could-apply-to-anyone horoscopes that you get in the newspapers. Those are just based very loosely on your sun sign, which relates to which sign the sun was in at the time of your birth. But there are a fair few other planets up there to take into account when looking into your birth chart. So a birth chart is basically a snapshot of the constellations or sign that each planet was in at the moment you were born. It's what you would have seen when you first opened your eyes and looked up to the heavens. Well, it would be if you were born outside and there wasn't a hospital roof in the way. Anyway, I was so excited when I first saw my own birth chart at the time that I started learning astrology many moons ago. It just fascinated me how it mentioned and confirmed underlying themes and cycles in my life that I had already been aware of before then.
Yeah, so Kirsty did my birth chart for me, which I never would have done myself. And there were so many very specific similarities, it didn't seem like it could just be my brain looking for links. So for example, Chiron, which is the wounded healer, so the thing you need to work on most to grow up and heal, was in Cancer on my birth chart, same as Kirsty, which to do was feeling unloved and is often linked to a fear of being alone or linked to codependency, something I've been doing a lot of work on therapy this year because codependency is a problem I've had throughout my life.
Yep, I can also relate to that. That's the thing, some of the information you get from it is so specific, like you say. I've actually done a little test in the past with some of my friends and family when I was first starting to learn it, just to be sure I wasn't just reading into it what I wanted to. So I'd basically read out a description that related to a placement in their birth chart and then one that related to a placement in my birth chart without telling them whose was whose. So I asked them to guess, you know, which one do you think was yours and which one was mine? And every time they could relate at least in some way to their own. And they would be like, oh, obviously the second one you read out was about me. That sounds nothing like you, or vice versa. And going back to that Chiron placement, the wounded healer, I found it so interesting that in my dad's birth chart, for example, that his wound was in being abandoned and related to the possibility that he may have been adopted, which he was. Going into it a bit further, and this is something I've only recently learned about, is the North and South Node placements. This relates to your soul's journey. So your North Node is what you need to focus on to learn or grow from in this lifetime, and your South Node is your natural comfort zone as it relates to things that you've already mastered in previous lifetimes. So my South Node was in Cancer in the 9th house. Basically, to summarise it, it means that my past lives were spent travelling to distant lands and learning about spirituality and different religions. So this is what I'm naturally drawn to in this lifetime and want to continue doing. But just because I want to do it doesn't mean I will necessarily grow from it. Which is really annoying because there's nothing I love more, as you can probably tell from this podcast, than going on long journeys to faraway lands and talking all things philosophy and mysticism. However, what I do need to focus on in this lifetime, if I want to grow, is the traits of the sign that my North Node is in, which is Capricorn. Capricorn is the path of self-discipline, hard work, and entrepreneurship. For years I've been saying I need to work on my lack of focus and procrastination, but all I've wanted to do was jump back on a plane and go on another adventure. Even my school report said something along the lines of Kirsty has untapped potential if only she would stop talking and daydreaming and stay focused. And now it's been confirmed in the stars that that's what I should be doing in this lifetime.
In step Nikki to help work on that discipline and hard work.
Yes. So if you'd like to get to know your own birth chart, there's a website you can go to where you can find it for free. It's www.astro.com. You just need to enter your date, place, and if you know it, time of birth, and it will give you the free summary. If you don't know the time you were born, it will still be pretty accurate. It just might mean that your ascendant or moon sign might be slightly off.
Before being friends with Kirsty, I'd really never put much stock in this, but I'm really glad that she's opened my eyes to it. I'm still not exactly sure what I believe. And I think if I met someone born exactly at the same time and the same place on the same day in the year, they would be a completely different individual with their own unique paths and experiences. But there really is something to it. And it's clearly swayed enough people, as astrology has been around for over 2,400 years, with the Babylonians developing their very own form of horoscopes. Magic in nature. The times where I felt the most connected to the sense of magic in the world is when I've been out in nature. Since moving, I now live on the edge of a big open field with the most amazing views of Box Hill, and every morning I make myself stop on my walk, stop thinking about work or chores or anything other than taking in the beauty around me. And it makes a massive difference to how I'm feeling and how I'm appreciating life that day. Time camping is also amazing for this. Waking up to birdsong, falling asleep to owls hooting. And I remember a little mouse coming over to say hello on a camping trip once. And it was such a simple but wonderful experience. Or hand-feeding the hedgehog that used to come and visit me in my old back garden. Even soaking in the colours of autumnal leaves can take my breath away and leave me feeling so much more aware of quite how amazing this world we get to live in is. And it's happening all around us all the time. We just don't stop to notice it.
That's so true. There's so much beauty all around. If only we'd just open our eyes to it. It's just made me think of when I met your ferrets the other day. And honestly, it made me so happy. Time spent with animals is really magical for me.
Yeah, animals are just in the present, experiencing lives. They're not thinking about jobs or to-do lists. They're just living.
Exactly. And also, speaking of camping, the elements are so magical too. The warmth and glow of a campfire can keep us hypnotised for hours. Or the calming sound of rain on your window on a cosy winter's night. Or the wind whispering through the trees or down the chimney. And the earth, that grounding force that connects us with this beautiful planet we call home.
Yes, I just love staring into a fire. That's magic, pure and simple. And talking of magic, there's these packets you can get on Amazon called Magic Flame, which turns your fire blues, purples and greens. On a special occasion, it's a great party trick to pull those out. I also think there's magic in certain places. I feel it whenever I go to Glastonbury Abbey, and I can only describe it as a current that flows through me, or looking out a particularly amazing view. These moments that take your breath away and pull you away from the dramas of day-to-day life.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that about Glastonbury Abbey, because I don't think we've ever spoken about our experiences there before, but I had the same feeling when I went there. I went in the early morning, just as it was opening, so I was the first person there, and it definitely felt magical. There was also something about Cambodia for me that I felt particularly drawn to. Most people that I've spoken to that have travelled around Asia prefer Thailand or Vietnam, and while I do love those places, there was something about Cambodia for me. My soul instantly felt at home there. Also in Uluru in Australia, there's a really powerful energy, almost magnetic. I did a meditation there at sunrise and the connection I felt was supercharged.
I've also been travelling too. And for me, Pai in Thailand is that exact same thing. So I wasn't meant to go there. It was just a couple that we made friends with was on their way. And we thought, why not? We got on a trip, got on the bus with them, spur of a moment decision. And as soon as I stepped off, I was like, this is my home away from home. There was pubs called The Witching Brew with books and hammocks, and it was just all so chilled and hippie trippy with views of the mountains all around, and it honestly felt like my soul was just at home. But as well as animals and places, I think people can have powerful vibrations too. I get it when I'm spending time with you, Kirsty, or with my partner. Being around you both, there are these tangible shifts to energy in the room, but in completely opposite ways. And that's coming from a reasonably logical person. Also, I recently held one of my oldest friend's two-week-old son, and for me, that was magic, plain and simple. Looking into his tiny, perfect face hit me with just this wave of deep emotion. I think most children have it in their joy for life and unending excitement and passion for things, but we somehow lose that ability as we grow older. But spending time with kids does remind me to connect back to my inner child and find that sense of wonder in the world again.
Yeah, it's so important to take that time. Like we mentioned in our authenticity episode, I think it's sad how we lose that. Crystals and energies. The first historical documentation of the use of crystals for their metaphysical properties was from the ancient Sumerians who lived between 4,500 to 2,000 BC. The origins of crystal healings is also tied back to ancient Egypt, where they would use gemstones and crystal jewellery to promote health and for protection. I often find myself drawn towards grounding crystals, probably because I'm not always the most grounded of people. Smoky quartz is a great one for grounding. I'll carry it around in my pocket, or if you don't have any pockets, you can always carry it in your bra. And at the moment, I'm sat here holding a crystal blue lace agate. It's something that I'll use for when we're recording the podcast, as it helps to open up and unblock your throat chakra, which corresponds to the colour blue. Clear quartz is also a great all-rounder. It has a protective and purifying effect and can be used to amplify the energy of any other crystals that you're working with. When I use a crystal, I will usually hold it to my heart and give gratitude for it while setting my intention. So, for example, thank you, Amethyst, for helping me to enhance my intuition and connection during this meditation. When I've been using a certain crystal for a long time, I will leave it out in the sun to charge it, or under a full moon to cleanse it. I will just mention that as the demand for crystals has rapidly grown in recent years, some of the mining practices tied to it are not very ethical. When buying crystals, I would suggest asking sellers where they source theirs from, and if they can't give you a straight answer about whether it's ethical or not, maybe go elsewhere.
For my birthday this year, one of my closest friends bought me a tiger's eye necklace to help with my anxiety. And she actually said that she spoke to the seller before buying it and made sure it was ethical. And also the seller said that she gave each piece an intention and an affirmation before sending it out, which I just love so much. It might be a placebo, but it does help me. On my first night out since lockdown, I had my tiger's eye necklace on and I had to go into a crowd of people and I did so much better than I would have done usually. And I was very aware of this necklace hanging there. Years and years ago, when we were dating before, I bought Chris a collection of crystals, which I hand-picked from a crystal shop we'd gone into. All of them are meant to help with mental health. He used to carry them around with him in a little bag, and he did say he felt they made a difference. Chris is not spiritual at all, but when we were in Glastonbury, he really struggled with going into the number of crystal shops there, as he said he could feel all the energies and it was giving him a headache. Like walking into Lush and struggling with all the different strong smells at the same time.
Oh, that's so interesting. I feel really energised usually when I go into crystal shops, but definitely I can't be in Lush for more than 2 minutes. And Tiger's Eye is another great one for grounding.
Similarly, I feel in tune with different energies when I'm meditating. So I picture breathing in good energy and breathing out stale or bad energy. And it does really make a difference, which honestly surprised me, as at first I didn't expect to get so much from that side of it, struggling with visualisations such as picturing a lotus flower inside your stomach at the start. Those just weren't for me, but dialing it back to something a bit simpler worked really well.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I remember the first time I was doing a guided meditation with my friend Emma, and she was talking us through visualising a lotus flower, and I just couldn't see it for all of the want of trying. And I think you're right, when we can relate it to something that we actually experience or see in everyday life, it's so much easier. And I really like that meditation that you mentioned. I imagine breathing in the white light of the breath, and then as you breathe out, it's almost like black smoke, which is the negativity or stagnant energy leaving me. And with each breath, the colour of the exhaled air or smoke becomes lighter and lighter, going from black to grey and eventually to white, until you've gotten rid of all the old energy and you're now just cycling clean, fresh, new energy in and out.
I love that. And talking about all of this also makes me think of dream catchers. I've had some since I was a teenager, and I honestly can't even remember where my first one came from or why I started collecting them. But I've not had one up since moving, as I'm yet to unpack them, and I have been having the most terrible dreams. Those more sensible among you listening might be thinking, well, of course you have, Nikki. You've just had a lot of change and gone through the stress of moving, and it could well be exactly that. But again, it's the power of that placebo effect. If you believe in something, and it makes a difference to you, it doesn't matter if there's science or facts behind it. The point is, it's helping. So stick with it. And don't worry what others think.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. If it helps, that's all that matters. Oh, don't get me started on dreams. That's a whole other episode. But you've actually reminded me of a necklace I got given from my aunt and uncle when I was about 5 or 6. I used to have really vivid bad nightmares every single night without fail. And I think there was actually a green stone in the necklace, but I can't remember which stone it was, and I wish I could because I don't have it anymore. But basically they gave it to me as it said that this could help and protect me while I sleep against these nightmares that I was having. And as you say, it might have been a placebo effect at the time, but it definitely seemed to work.
Did you ever have worry dolls as a kid? So that was something that I used to have under my pillow every night, and I was told that the worry dolls would take all my worries from the day and all the things that might turn into bad dreams and keep them safe for me. And from when I was given them, I stopped having bad dreams. It's amazing what a difference like believing something does make.
I love that. I've never heard of those, but that's the thing. It's like the intention that goes with it. It's kind of hard to know sometimes how much of it is the actual thing itself and how much is the thought and belief and intention that you have in it, but if it works, it works. Another thing I like to do is burn sage in my home every now and then, just to clear any stuck old energy. And then after that, I'll light a candle to welcome in new positive energy. You can also use aromatherapy oils in a diffuser. Even just opening all the windows first thing in the morning gives you a nice blast of fresh air and energy.
I open my windows every morning, and I do think it's a great way to start the day with just some fresh air. All these things that we've been talking about have been part of different cultures around the world for hundreds or even thousands of years. So much longer than technology or 9-to-5 jobs. So there must be something to them that keeps attracting us as people back to them. I wonder if we're just less able to tune into that magic or whatever it may be and need to work harder these days to see it and find it or feel it. But I promise you, in some way, shape or form, it is always there, just waiting to be found.
It really is. One way I like to try and tune into my intuition or inner knowing is by using tarot and oracle decks. Sometimes I'll just pull one card in the morning for some daily inspiration, or if I want guidance from my higher self on a question that I have. So before we go, I'd just like to pull one for you lovely listeners to leave you with a little message for the next week.
She's doing it, guys.
Okay, so this one says, keepers of the earth, you are not alone. Ancient ancestors stand beside you.
I love that. You've heard it here first, guys. You are not alone. And genuinely, me and Kirsty are always here if you do want to talk about any of this stuff.
Yep, we would love to hear from you and how you find the magic in the everyday.
So if you do want to say hello or ask us any questions, you can find us on social media under Colour Me Happy, with two E's and me, and Holistic Kirsty, one word with no C. You must know the drill by now. We also have an Instagram for our show called justbeing_podcast, or drop us an email at justbeing_podcast@hotmail.com. We would love it if you share this episode with anyone you think might gain something from it.
Absolutely, and we'd also love to hear about how you find the magic in the everyday. Goodbye, lovely listeners. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And until next time, remember to just focus on the beauty all around. And we hope you have a magical Christmas.
For those of you that want to know more about the oracle card that we pulled, Keepers of the Earth, you are not alone, ancient ancestors stand beside you. This is the full description from the oracle card book. You are so supported. You do not stand alone. You have a magnificent team of helpers, both in this world and of the earth, who are here to help you every step of the way. Call upon them for assistance. They are here to help. The keepers of the earth acknowledge the work that you have done and are ready to work through you. They bow at your feet and thank you for wanting to stand for them. To devote your life to protecting the earth in your unique way. It is time to increase your capacity to receive support in the physical realm. This can come in the form of financial abundance, acts of service from strangers, or people flocking to help you and your work. The only thing that is stopping you right now is your capacity to receive support. You deserve to be rewarded for the work that you are doing. You do not need to go at it alone. Call upon the keepers of the earth to help you and your mission. Open your heart and your mind to receiving more than you ever thought possible. What kind of support do you need? Call it in right away.
And there's an affirmation. I am open to receiving a whole new level of support for my life and my work, and I call it in now. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Join us next Thursday for our final episode in 2021, where we will be discussing why sometimes the best thing to do is let someone go.